Victory Monday, and we have not been able to say that for far too long here. There's been a little bit extra bump in everybody's step. I can feel it around the office today, and it's not going to stop here. We're going to talk a little bit about that and with Gabe Neitzel here and joining us in just a moment. We also have the Mayville Cardinals, who will be playing at Camp Randall on Thursday after their big win against Lake Country Lutheran on Friday night. Columbus, their season came to an end against a very talented little shoot triple option offense. We'll recap a little bit about how that looked and what comes next for Columbus later on. And then we're unveiling a new segment to end the show. That is your brainchild, Charlie Dern. And I'm very excited about that. We're going to be taking a look in the mirror, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. You're throwing the blame on me if it doesn't go well this early, huh?
Oh, you have to. Yeah, I'm passing the buck. That's what we do here. I was going to say, there's no accountability. A little bit of a tease for the fourth segment. You like that? But we now have to welcome on someone who has not been able to talk to us in the new iteration of the show yet. You can hear Gabe Neitzel Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 on ESPN Milwaukee on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You can also see him on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page there or across the ESPN Wisconsin apps. It is finally a Victory Monday once again with Gabe Neitzel. Gabe, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, boys. I mean, yeah, like you said, it's Victory Monday. What else could you be asking for?
Oh, not too much right now. And one of the things, I guess, that we're starting to look ahead. We're 10 games in. It's natural that you start looking to the postseason a little bit. Some interesting things going on in the NFC North, and I want to hear where you're at in the mid-stage point. Who do you believe is the front runner to come out in a very tightly contested NFC North?
That's a great question. And I don't think it can be limited just to the NFC North, because right now, I don't know who to believe in the NFC as a whole. I really thought that the Seahawks and Rams were the best two teams coming into this weekend. But even after that game, where the Rams intercepted Sam Darnold four times and then had to survive and hold their breath to see if a 61-yard field goal went through or not to win that game, it makes me wonder, okay, is there actually a really good team in the NFC, or a great team, I should say? I think there's a lot of good teams. I think the Packers are certainly in there. We saw the Lions and Eagles muck it up last night, kind of like the Packers and Eagles did on the Monday night previous. So I don't know if there's a team that you can point to and say, yes, this is the one. This is the team that I believe in, really across the NFC, much less the NFC North, because the Packers have their flaws. We've seen the Lions have their flaws. They've already lost twice as much this year than they did all of last year when they went 15-2. And I don't think anybody, including Bears fans, if they look at themselves in the mirror, really believe in this Bears team either.
Without on purpose doing it there, almost foreshadowing the man in the mirror segment at the end of the show. Gabe, I appreciate that, even if it was unintentional. I want to ask a little bit, though, because we haven't been able to talk to you in the last few weeks, and in those few weeks, the injuries have really stacked up. And we saw that even again yesterday. Josh Jacobs waiting to figure out how long he'll be out, but he's going to be missing a little bit of time. With where the injuries are at right now with Green Bay, are they built to sustain this going into a stretch where five of their last seven games are against division opponents?
I think they are, and with Josh Jacobs not being a long-term injury, I'm really curious to see what Matt LaFleur does, because last year they had to pivot after Jordan Love was injured. I don't think they wanted to be a run-heavy 52% run team like they were a year ago. I think they wanted to be able to throw the ball, still use play action, and Josh Jacobs obviously still a huge part of that, and I feel like they've kind of gotten away from that. Yes, they've thrown the ball more this year, but because of Josh Jacobs' propensity and his he's most comfortable running out of shotgun. And I think that's taken away, especially going into this game, a lot of the Packers play action stuff. Chewy will point this out until he's blue in the face on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It is a lot harder to run play action when you're running out of shotgun because you're just showing the ball and the linebackers can kind of read to see if you're actually handing it off to the running back versus taking the ball under center, turning your back to the defense, showing the ball, and they have to react to that, especially on stretch plays. And after Josh Jacobs went down yesterday, the Packers' play action game suddenly looked pretty good. Jordan Love looked pretty good. I'm not saying the Packers are a better team without Josh Jacobs, because Josh Jacobs is obviously a very talented running back. He had one of the top five seasons in the history of Green Bay Packer running backs last season, and that is saying something given the long list of great running backs that have played for the 100-plus years of that franchise's history. But I think Matt LaFleur kind of got away from some things that he wants to do that makes him the best play caller he can be, that makes Jordan Love the best quarterback that he can be in order to make Josh Jacobs comfortable. And I'm curious to see if they continue some of the more under-center actions that we're used to seeing in this Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan offense, if they continue to do that this weekend against the Minnesota Vikings, because I'm assuming at this point that Josh Jacobs isn't going to play in that game. And if they do look more comfortable under center, I wonder if Jacobs is just going to have to get more comfortable with not running out of the shotgun.
Gabe, is this just who we are? After the first couple weeks in the year, I thought maybe we were a team that's like capable of blowing teams out, but we've seen over the last few weeks, and I don't even mean to poo-poo on everyone's party right now, on everyone's parade. Is this just who we are? We play these close games, and it's whether or not we're able to score on that last drive or get off the field and get a stop. Is this just who we are?
I think that's who a lot of teams are right now, Charlie, if we're being honest with each other. Because, I mean, yes, there are some blowouts, and we saw some teams a couple weeks ago. I think everybody in the late afternoon slate won their games big with blowouts scoring 40-plus points. But I think the Packers are certainly capable of that as they get more comfortable, even as they get healthier. Because yesterday afternoon, like, they weren't completely healthy, obviously. And I think they're, you know, obvious outside of Tucker Kraft, they're going to get healthier in offense. They're going to get, Matthew Golden going a little bit more, I think, because he didn't play a ton of snaps yesterday coming off the shoulder injury. Obviously, Jaden Reed is sitting there waiting to come back. So I think that they have those capabilities if they get back to kind of what the offense looked like in the early part of the season, and they're able to kind of attack the way they were able to yesterday, then the defense has to step up, right? Like, they just haven't put together that complete game. And I would argue, you know, outside of those first two games, the best they played was the second half against the Steelers, where they dominated the Steelers. So they're certainly capable of that. If they play a really good game, I think they're capable of dominating the Minnesota Vikings this weekend, because the Vikings are a team that is very flawed. Their quarterback has not been up to the standards that we are used to seeing of a Kevin O'Connell offense. So I think that's a team that they have the capability of blowing out this weekend at Lambeau Field, but we'll have to wait and see which version of Jordan Love shows up, because part of who they are right now is a very inconsistent team. And when you're as inconsistent as they are, that does make it tough to kind of blow teams out.
Well, Toyotathon is coming, so that's exciting for everybody around Packerland right now.
When does that start? When does Toyotathon start?
I saw that they were like the AI thing when you Google now. It was throwing out the 18th, which would be tomorrow, but I haven't seen any ads at all, so I have no idea if that's true. But it feels like we're due. This feels like Toyotathon Jordan Love period. But Gabe, I welcome you to join me in my brain for a second, so I hope you come out on other side okay. So
all right.
I hope I articulate this well. But so like since Christian Watson has come back, he has been even better than I think most people, even in their wildest dreams, could have hoped for. At the same time, we're still waiting for that Matthew Golden emergence. Is it have to be a sliding scale because of how similar they are at wide receivers that if Watson's good, it just means less for Matthew Golden, or can those both be very effective independently of each other?
I think they can be effective independently of each other, because I think that as good as Christian Watson has been, and the one thing as Packer fans that we had been hoping for Christian Watson, he's got that 6'4 frame. He's got that speed. All right, high point the football, down the field, make big plays. Exactly what he's been doing. You know, I know he had, I guess the one wasn't considered a drop yesterday, but, I mean, the catch he made, I honestly don't know what was more impressive on the touchdown that won the game for the Packers, the throw by Jordan Love or the catch by Christian Watson. Because that's the type of catch that we've been just hoping and praying for. Now, Christian, I think, still needs a little bit of refinement in his routes. I think they've found, you know, some of the deeper crossing patterns. Obviously, the go routes are something he's really good at, and that's something that they want to use him in. For Matthew Golden, I think he's a better route runner, and I think that they could use him in the Romeo Doubs world, the way that Romeo's being used right now. I wouldn't mind seeing some of those routes. There was a play yesterday where both Romeo and Matthew Golden were on the field. The Packers ended up picking up this third down, but it looked like he was man-to-man coverage, and Golden was his job, as they were both working on the right side of the offense, was to kind of clear everybody out and get Dobbs underneath, give him a little bit of space on the crossing route. And Romeo has – the strengths of Romeo are good. He's got good hands despite the drops yesterday. He's good at catching the ball in traffic. Catch and run isn't exactly Romeo Doubs' strength. I would love to see some of those opportunities go to Matthew Golden, because catching and running, that is the strength of somebody like Matthew Golden. So despite both those guys having speed, I think they're two completely different wide receivers, and I think their speed can be used to complement each other, especially once Matthew Golden becomes a little more healthy. Because the one thing, again, he just didn't play the complement of snaps that we're used to seeing him play. And I think part of that was they didn't want to completely rush him and put him in harm's way too often with his shoulder injury as he continues to recover from that. But I think both of them, especially next year when Romeo Doubs isn't around, because I'm still assuming that Romeo's not going to get a contract extension, I think both of them can flourish in this offense together.
Gabe, what's a topic this week that you are looking forward to talking about the least and the most? For me, it's definitely kicking. I don't want to talk about it anymore, especially with the weather. And I guess we're going to have to probably talk about the drops a lot, too, this week, huh?
Yeah, I guess I'm not as concerned about the drops just because going into the game against the Eagles, they had one drop. The wide receivers had one drop. As a team, they had five. So tight ends and running backs accounted for four. Wide receivers accounted for one. Wide receivers had three yesterday. They had three against the Eagles. I think that the drops are not that big of a deal. Man, they have bungled this kicking thing.
Yeah.
And it is just exhausting. Like, pick a kicker. It's really not that hard. You pick a kicker and you go with them. That way the other kicker doesn't have to look behind his shoulder and go, oh, is that guy going to be challenging me for my job? Now I'm really nervous when I have to go out there and make these kicks. Just pick a kicker. I don't care which one it is. I really don't. But at the same time, I prefer Brandon McManus because I know he's been there, done that. There was a reason Lucas Eversick was out of the league for 2 years. I think we saw some of that yesterday when he missed two extra points that weren't even close.
Was that an accident,
Gabe? But now they've got a kicking situation. What's that?
Was it an accident that Brandon McManus didn't kick yesterday when all of a sudden there's 20, 30-mile-an-hour winds at MetLife? Because that just felt like a very convenient time for him to be like, yeah, you know what? I do need to take it easy this week.
I mean, it's just I have no idea why they didn't just throw him on IR right away.
Then you know we're not talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, the Packers have bungled this. McManus has bungled this. Haversick has bungled this. Rich Bisaccia, if you want to blame him, go ahead. I don't think he goes out there and tells kickers to miss kicks, but people seem to be mad at him when they miss kicks. So go ahead and blame him if you want to. Just figure it out. Pick one kicker. That's all. It's not that hard. Look across the league. Everybody else does it. You just pick one kicker. And that's your kicker going forward. I don't think it should be that difficult, but somehow the Packers decided to make the kicking thing as difficult as they possibly can.
It's special teams year in and year out, too. So, like, that's where it just, like, it never ends. It's just every year it's a new, layer of the special teams that has been a problem.
Well, and that's why I don't get mad at, like, Rich Bisaccia. Josh DiMaggio, our producer for Gen Game and Chewy, he gets mad at Rich Bisaccia and wants him fired. Like, I guess I just don't care about Rich Bisaccia at this point. It doesn't matter who the head coach has been. It hasn't mattered who the general manager has been. It hasn't mattered it hasn't mattered now who the president has been. The Packers special teams have been bad going back to what? 2010?
Like even 2010, you're in the middle of the pack. It wasn't like it was a strength of the team.
Yeah. So I mean, and again, that was years and years and years ago. So I don't know why this team is always going to just be middle of the pack when it comes to special teams. Maybe I've just accepted it, and people who want to get mad and fire Rich Bisaccia have hope that it's going to get better, and I'm just a defeatist when it comes to Green Bay Packers special teams. But that's just kind of where I am right now when it comes to the special teams and the kicking situation. I am kind of interested also to talk about Rashawn Gary this week because he is somebody who has just completely disappeared. He hasn't had a sack now in the month of November. His last he had a two-sack game against the Steelers. And it's not even just that he doesn't have a sack, because, again, he's not a top-of-the-line, guy. I think he's kind of a second-tier pass rusher. He's not on the same level as, obviously Micah Parsons and people of that ilk. And even the best ones don't get a sack every game, but it seems like he's been non-existent. And then yesterday, Kingsley and Abare played more snaps than he did. So I'm really curious as to what's happening with Rashawn Gary and why he did not play as much in the game yesterday.
He was a Pro Bowler last year.
Yeah,
I'm saying that with a smile.
Sure he was.
It was the same with Miz in the All-Star game. It's the same thing, but another discussion another day. Gabe, one more for you before we hit the road, because you kind of were hinting at it, that Jordan Love in the second half, after the Josh Jacobs injury, he looked a lot more like we joke about it, the second half of the year, the Toyota-thon Jordan Love that we've kind of grown accustomed to the last few years. Do injuries like that almost act as a blessing in disguise, where now it's just, I don't care who's getting the ball. I don't have to worry about who's getting fed. We just have to go out there and win. Do you think that is something to do with the improved play?
I think it can at times. Again, I think he just became more and more comfortable with throwing from underneath center, doing a lot of the play action stuff that this offense tends to want to do. And from my eye, it looked like that was some of the things they went back to once Josh Jacobs got injured. And I think that Jordan is at his best when he's operating under center instead of going out of shotgun as much as they do, especially when Josh Jacobs is out there and playing. So that is what I'm curious to see, is if he continues to look that good, especially against a Minnesota Vikings. Again, I'm working under the assumption of a veteran like Josh Jacobs, when he's unable to finish a game, he's probably not going to play the next game. And I know all the different reports out there were saying he's probably week to week. And when I hear that, okay, week to week, you're probably at least missing one game. So I'm working under the assumption that he's not going to play. And that defense for the Minnesota Vikings, as bad as their offense has been with J.J. McCarthy, as inconsistent as it's been with J.J. McCarthy, that defense is still pretty good. And Brian Flores is an incredibly respected defensive coordinator. So if he continues to look that good against that good defense, I think we've got something to kind of discuss going forward of, okay, Josh Jacobs, I think you need to not be the engine of this offense. I think the engine of the offense should be Jordan Love, and hopefully Josh Jacobs can fit into that because he's an incredibly talented player who the Packers still can use, especially if they have a lead in the fourth quarter and need to run out the clock and go into the four-minute offense. So that's kind of something I'm looking forward to going forward and seeing how the Packers react to potentially not having Josh Jacobs at the start of a pretty important run of these three straight games against divisional opponents.
Well, thank you as always for the time, Gabe. We'll be talking to you next week after the Packers either get a win or a loss against 9 or J.J. McCarthy. We just got to cross our fingers on which one we're getting next Monday. But thank you very much, Gabe. We'll talk to you then.
Sounds good, boys.
Awesome. Well, you got to dive back into the positivity for the first time here, Charlie, after seemingly every time we've had you on the show.
Yeah.
It's been negative. It's not been Victory Mondays. So where is our mood? Before we'll talk more Packers in the second block, leaving this game kind of what we expected, right? Like, it wasn't like a earth-shattering win, but they did enough on the road to get it done.
Yeah, they had to right the ship as much as they could, and I think they did a good job of that. It certainly wasn't overly convincing, and you're not like 10 out of 10 excited about everything going on. But ultimately, they got a win, and we'll say it a million times on the show. It's a week-to-week league, and they proved that they can get it done. More about like execution at the end of their drives, and the Eagles' offense is also like nothing to write home about either. But ultimately, the defense is struggling right now, and especially against the run, that front seven is not doing their part against the run. And so we'll see. I think that this week against the Vikings is going to be really telling, going up national championship quarterback.
9.
And like he's not doing well, but that's just kind of the way it feels like it goes with the Packers, where he struggles, he looks terrible against the Bears, and now he activates against the Packers, and he's going to be like cooking. We'll see. I'm not saying that we're going to lose to the Vikings or anything like that. I think we're much better than them, but I'm not like, oh, we're going to blow him out like I might have at the beginning of the season.
Well, and one thing I will say, because you're right, there are a lot of issues right now defensively where they didn't really exist in the first month and a half of the season. The thing that I will look back on it, I'm going to talk myself into, they're still in a good place. Who stepped up on the two big plays when you needed stops yesterday? But number one, the guy that you went out and you traded those first two first-round picks for, he gets a sack to end a drive, and he gets a sack to end the football game too. That's where I'm going to kind of like tell myself, yeah, it's not all hunky-dory right now, but when that guy is playing like he is, a man possessed, you're going to find ways to win throughout the games.
Definitely, and I after the game, I didn't realize that Quay Walker left with an injury. Yeah. And
it was kind of quick. They showed him for like 2 seconds
right,
going off, and then it was just like he's gone.
Right, and obviously we traded away Kenny Clark, so there's going to be a bit of a hole in the run defense. But to start the year, they looked great against the run, and it ebbs and flows. It's a roller coaster. That's kind of what the Packers have proven they're going to be, and like Gabe said, what a lot of NFL teams are this year, especially in the NFC. So there's a lot of the story yet to be told with this Packers team, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot in the NFC right now, and it's a crapshoot in the NFC North. When we come back, you and I are going to dive a little bit into who is the favorite at this point of the season to get that home game, the guaranteed home game, and potentially more than that as well. We'll dive into that on here on the Dam Sports Show right after the break on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
This week's White Construction High School Athlete of the Week is Dayton McBride of Cambria Friesland. The senior competes on the Hilltoppers football, basketball, baseball, and golf teams. His favorite high school sporting moment was winning the regionals in basketball. His pregame routine involves eating food and listening to music. Congratulations to Cambria Friesland's Dayton McBride. He's this week's White Construction High School Athlete of the Week.
At Prairie Ridge Health, our rehab team is here to help you restore mobility, regain independence, and get back to doing what you love. With state-of-the-art facilities and a compassionate team of physical and occupational therapists, we're proud to serve our communities in Columbus, Beaver Dam, and Sun Prairie. Early morning and evening appointments are available. Schedule a visit today at prairieridge.health. Prairie Ridge Health, inspired by you.
Oh wow, they're out. A triple play. Did you see that relay race?
Wally, are you just saying random sports terms? This is a football game.
I'll be honest, Sherry, I've been running on empty. My pantry's looking like a bye week. A Wally with no snack is just not a Wally at all.
Cheer up. You just need to get over to Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly in Beaver Dam and Mayville. Score big this fall with game day snacks, beverages, meats, and more. Stock up in store and check out weekly deals online at foxbrospigglywiggly.com. Make every game day a touchdown.
Brace yourselves. Winter is coming.
Don't wait for the cold to hit. JB Mechanical is here with expert heating services for both homes and businesses, keeping you warm all season long. Want more control over your comfort? Ask them about programmable and Wi-Fi thermostats designed to fit your schedule and lifestyle. With flexible maintenance plans and financing options, staying cozy has never been easier or less stressful. Schedule your service today at jbmechllc.com. Proud to be your local Train dealer, because nothing runs like a Train.
Are you aware of who's making your healthcare decisions? Hi, this is Dr. Adam Forster with Columbus Family Dental. Healthcare is a very personal thing that requires careful thought and planning. These choices should be made by you and your doctor, not an administrator or an insurance company. At Columbus Family Dental, we're a local, doctor-owned clinic, which allows us to put your health and well-being first. Call us today at 623-5559 to schedule a free, no-pressure consultation to see if we're the right fit for you.
It's a slogan, but the way of life at Gruber Law Offices. If you've been injured, call our team today. We've represented tens of thousands of injured Wisconsinites for more than 30 years. Trust Wisconsin's own Gruber Law Offices, proud partner of your Milwaukee Bucks. One call, that's all.
A show that's so good, you could hang up an in-season tournament banner for it. The Damn Sports Show, presented by Real Sports Cards in Waupun. This is 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
If you are looking for a one-stop shop for all things sports cards, head on over to Real Sports Cards in Waupun or check out their app. Whether you're into sports cards or Pokemon, Real Sports Cards has you covered with live break streaming right on the app. You can grab individual cards on the go, be a part of a group, and watch for your favorite players and teams as packs get open. Go to the Apple or Google Play Store today, look for the orange logo, and take your collection to the next level with Real Sports Cards, your local resource for all things sports cards, Pokemon cards, and more. And I know Tom over there, he is a Chicago Bears fan. So I got to blow up his spot right here. But the reason why I bring that up is that you and I, earlier today, we were trying to figure out what we wanted to really dive into on this. We were starting to talk about, we're 10 games in. We're at a good point where you can kind of get a gauge on where everybody's at, what they're looking at. They've played high-quality opponents. They played some cupcakes. How have they responded? With that, we have a crapshoot at the top of the NFC North. And Charlie, it has me wondering for you, at this point, if you were to put a future bet down on the NFC North winner, division winner, who are you going with and why?
I'd have to look at the Lions' schedule. I'm not, like, going to be completely out on them. It is interesting, though. Like, right now, the Bears are leading the NFC North, and I think if you talk to any like Bears fan, I think they wouldn't be able to look you in the eyes with a completely straight face and be like, yeah, we're the best team in the NFC North. They haven't really played, like, they're...
I think some of them would.
Yeah, but I think deep down they even know that.
But it's just almost like a smirk, like, yeah, this is awesome. Yeah. I mean, we're even getting texts, like, in the group chat from Bears fans right around the office and former teammates right here of, this team is so much fun. And it's, like, a different place where you're only a half game behind the Chicago Bears right now, but I feel like the frustration on the Packers' end is, this isn't nearly good enough. They feel like they could be 9-1 at this point of the season. Where the other side, they're probably like, this is sweet. We could be looking at 5-5. Like, the Raiders missed a kick against us at the end of the game. There's like three or four other instances. It came down to a last possession score.
And that's all it takes. All it takes is being on the right side of a lot of those. That's how the Vikings have been, you know, the last two or three seasons when they're going 14-3 and whatnot. They're ultimately like, they were winning all these one-score games and barely winning them. And that's what, maybe the Bears are doing that, and maybe that's who the Bears are too. Kind of like what we've been talking about. That Lions-Eagles game last night kind of made me, it reassured me in the same way that I was like, wow, the Packers are far off too. Like, not that the Lions, we're far off from the Lions, but we might be pretty far off from the Eagles. That defense is elite, and they're shutting everyone that they play down. If they can shut down the Lions, like, how far off are we? Because it's not like everything was easy for the Packers yesterday. Now, at the same time, we did, once we got to the red zone and we were able to get all the way there, they went 4-for-4 in the red zone, but kicking was also not an option. So they might have been a little more aggressive at that point.
Yeah, when you're throwing the 25-mile-an-hour wind swirls, it becomes an issue. I believe our producer, Ashley Dobrzynski, is trying to tell us that we have a caller on the line. Dobes, am I incorrect, or if not, we will be saying hello now.
We didn't get to the injury report yet.
We didn't. That's true. Who are we talking with this time? Or nobody.
She's working on it.
She's working on it. That's all right, Dobes. We're going to make you hold you accountable for that when we get to the end of the show here, because we are going to have our men in the mirror and women in the mirror that she's going to be a part of too. So no caller at this point, but we should have done the injury report because they have overcome so much to get to this point, Charlie.
That is a legitimate thing about this team, is facing that adversity and getting through it in that way. But like, ultimately, it's not like Luke Musgrave has done anything at this point. Now I'm
how
like,
disappointing has this been for him? It's hard to watch at points.
I was driving up for the first half. I was driving up from, well, Chicago, actually, and listening to the game, and then Jordan Love goes down, and I'm like, oh no. And then they're like, a couple plays later, Josh Jacobs leaves the game, and they're like, kind of looks serious. I'm just like, is the season spiraling out of control?
Like right here
now?
On MetLife.
Yeah.
It's like the turf that everybody's afraid of. And it wasn't even one of those injuries.
And at first they were just reporting it was a shoulder thing for Jordan Love. And then luckily they're like, nope, left shoulder, non-throwing shoulder. Like, okay, fine. Yes, adversity is certainly something that they've now gone through a lot. And they've been on the wrong side of it, losing some of these one-score, low-scoring games. Now I think it's time to really find who you are, especially that front seven on defense.
I know it's what goes without saying when you get to this point of the year that every game is the most important one of your season. But the next three games, where you have three straight divisional opponents, there is a chance, one way or the other, that the outlook of the season could be entirely different, because these are three winnable games. Two of those are going to be at home, I believe. Or wait, did I get that backwards?
Two are
it's
home.
It's going to be two. Yeah, two at home. You have the Vikings and Bears at home. You'd imagine that both of those need to be wins. But going to Detroit, it's a very different team than you played them in week one. I feel like that's going to be probably Detroit, probably minus three-ish, you'd imagine, in that range.
Yeah, especially on Thanksgiving. It's going to be packed there. And it's not like the Lions fans are selling their tickets, which is something that Matt LaFleur brought up for this week, which that's an entirely different conversation. And we don't have to do that now. But we got to take care of business, especially when all these NFC North teams all have, like, it's going to cannibalize itself. Every team is playing each other a couple times to end the season here. There have not been a ton of these divisional games. So we'll see. I mean, I think that the Packers can pull it off. I'm not uber confident in their ability against the Broncos and then the Ravens. Those two games, I think, are going to play pretty important roles in the seeding of it all. And then the division will come down to, obviously, the divisional games and whether or not they can get it done.
I don't think that there's a team that can win the NFC North that can do it without going at least 4-2 in division. Mm-hmm. With how tight it is right now, and you're right, that it is going to cannibalize itself. that you have to win probably 4 out of 5 even of those division games to really feel confident that you're going to get it done. And you're going to have to go on the road for 3 of those 5 games. I know that the Bears, there's been a lot of history of success in big games for the Packers, but this does feel like a different Bears team, for better or worse, where they're at right now. You would imagine that's going to be tight. And Taylor Williams did win at Lambeau last year, and they were a fingertip away from winning at Soldier Field. So this next 3 weeks,
The Packers weren't, like, going all the way, you know, pedal to the metal in that game. But that's neither here nor there. I don't want to take away from the Bears winning that one. Because, yeah, you still got to handle business. You're still not supposed to
lose
that
game. Yeah, it's not exactly like you're throwing out the kitchen sink out there.
Right.
But you did have your starters. Like, yep. Christian Watson, that was the game he got hurt in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's something to at least monitor as we go into its last 7 games. And 2 of those 2, Denver and Baltimore as well. It's not even like you have a breath of fresh air with an easy non-division game. It's 2 non-conference teams that are going to be vying for potentially a Rose Bowl. Wow, that'd be really impressive if they got a Rose Bowl out of the AFC. But they're going to be having an AFC frontrunner for the Super Bowl, because the Ravens are coming back to life in a bad AFC North, and they're going to be playing with their life on the line. And Denver seems to keep winning, and they're going to be playing for an AFC West crown. It's a big, big, big ask over the last 7 games. Before we go to break, with about a minute left here, Charlie, you mentioned that you hate talking about it, so I want to talk about it. The kicking situation. Because yesterday, it's 25 miles an hour wind. You heard me kind of joke about it with Gabe. There's no way in hell that Brandon McManus wasn't able to go yesterday, right?
I think that that's fairly coincidental, similar to, like, we talked about Dan Campbell taking over the OC, or taking over play calling against the Washington Commanders.
Very, very convenient timing.
It might just be lucky. It might just be lucky. I don't get involved, obviously, with, like, the medical reports and all that. I don't know what's going on with the doctors and what they told Brandon McManus. But then from the beginning, like, why was he kicking last week then? Why was he kicking the week? Because all these reports are like, yeah, he's still kind of hurt.
Well, and at the beginning, before he started missing kicks, what was the conversation? It was, I'm completely fine. I don't know why Coach LaFleur is upset or worried about it at all. And then he starts missing kicks, and it's, yeah, I've been battling, man. Well, no, die now that you're going to be losing. It's when people get dunked on, or you have a big catch against you, and it's you don't even know where to grab, but you're slow to get up because it's like, I'm really embarrassed right now. The pride starts really hurting. It feels almost like it's separated from the camera, but it's the same thing. I'm not risking my job by going out there and kicking in a gale. I'm going to let that go to the rookie everybody's clamoring to replace me, and we're going to go from there.
That's always my move. Whenever I stumble on the sidewalk, like, I immediately go and, like, examine.
I limp. Oh, yeah, you look back. Like, what was that back there?
Because obviously it was the sidewalk's fault, not me being clumsy.
And yeah, and you're not picking your feet up. You're just dragging them. My mom used to get on me so much for that. Pick your feet up. Sorry, Mom.
Checking your pockets. What happened?
Yeah, and then, again, you almost have, like, a soft limp after. It's like, you can't laugh at me because I hurt a little bit.
I also do pull the, like, I'll giggle. I'll do, like, a little fake laugh.
Yeah, because you're like, you have to hope that somebody's around. or you hope they aren't. Like,
that was funny.
Hey, we're all laughing about that, right? And then nobody's there, and you immediately go back to, like, stoic phase. Like, cool.
Yep.
Nothing happened here. Nobody's any the wiser. All right. Well, we're going to throw it to break. When we come back, we got to talk about the Mayville Cardinals, because they are going to the state championship game playing against the Northwestern Tigers. A different Northwestern team that should have got a win over the weekend. I'm not going to hold that against you. Maybe we hold you accountable, though.
I was fighting hard down in Evanston. Or I guess I wasn't in Evanston. I was in Wrigleyville.
Oh, so were you at the game, or were you just in Wrigleyville for it?
I was just there. I wasn't at the game. We checked out Big Noon and all that. It was an awesome setup over there.
It looked like a great environment, too. Wrigley does it right. I wish that there was more room to make it actually make sense for football there, but I'm not going to complain about it. It's a great venue, great environment, so fun stuff. But Mayville, they're going to be playing at a great venue as well on Saturday, because they're going to be playing, or on Thursday, because they're playing at Camp Randall for the state championship game. And we were going to highlight them in the season that was terrific over there in Columbus as well, falling just short. That'll be on the other side here on the Dam Sports Show on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV.
This is Jason Martell, head baseball coach at St. Marie Springs Academy. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
Partner your business with the most famous 4 letters in sports, ESPN. For more information, click on the Contact Us tab at DailyDodge.com.
From the Daily Dodge News Center, I'm Terry Bell. A Lomira teenager is recovering from serious burns after accidentally starting a small fire Saturday night. The 16-year-old was trying to melt plastic keys with a lighter when a bottle of rubbing alcohol caught fire. The teen's injuries are serious, but they should recover. A bill in the state legislature would require data centers to get at least 70% of their energy from renewable sources. They would also have to pay fair wages. Donations to the Mayville Tornado Relief Fund helped 34 families pay for repairs not covered by insurance. Former State Attorney General Brad Schimel has been named the interim federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. This week is Winter Weather Awareness Week. You should check your furnace and make sure you have emergency kits in your home and car. 96 people died from the cold in Wisconsin last winter. From the Daily Dodge News Center, I'm Terry Bell.
Your home for Beaver Dam High School Golden Beaver Athletics is Daily Dodge TV and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
Orthopedic pain shouldn't disrupt every part of your life. You sit out when others head out. You find yourself saying, not today, when you really wish you could say yes. Make a change. Marshfield Clinic Orthopedics and Sports Medicine can guide you through a full scope of orthopedic care. We have surgical and non-surgical treatment options to get you back in action. No referral needed, because life is better with the freedom to move. Marshfield Clinic Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Call us today.
Join us for our next Pack Attack party of the season, Sunday, December 7th at Tower Lanes in Beaver Dam. Registration starts at 11 a.m. and kickoff at noon. Watch the game on Tower Lanes' many TVs as Green Bay takes on Chicago. Register to win incredible prizes, including the McKinstry's Home Furnishings best seat in the house. Plus, a free light lunch at halftime, courtesy of Pizza Ranch in the market at Beaver Dam. That's Sunday, December 7th at Tower Lanes. Check out DailyDodge.com for more.
Hey, hey, it's Stacey with Slumberland, Beaver Dam and Watertown. Our Black Friday sale starts early. Take advantage of Black Friday sales all month long. Did you know no one sells Sealy for less than us? Our Sealy Wintergreen Medium Mattress is on sale for as little as $299. That's 57% off. And also, don't forget about our 365 sleep night guarantee. That's amazing. One full year to make sure that you like what you've purchased. We have Sealy Posturepedics starting as little as $699, or our special Midnight Queen Pillow Top Mattress, 72% off of sale prices, down to $699. Save big with Purple, up to $800 off select mattresses and Purple base sets. Save up to $900 on select adjustable mattresses with Tempur-Pedic, Sealy Posturepedic, and Stearns & Foster's, and take advantage of our no-interest financing for up to 72.
And then last Friday, they played Lake Country Lutheran, and they trailed 15-14 with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter before coming back from behind once again and getting it done. I don't mean to be doing this like a knife in your side, because I didn't make it there. So I want to make sure I point that out very, very fast. That's not what I'm doing. But when you do get to the state semifinal, we saw Columbus fall, and that is a very tough scene. I felt like you feel a lot of these guys' careers are over. What is that like? How do you rebound from that? You were a junior, I believe, when that occurred for you.
Yeah, I was a junior in that season, and then it kind of just became like identifying the leaders immediately in the offseason. Like, who are those guys? And a lot of, for us, we had like three or four guys that were juniors at the time that were starting. So they were kind of the instant guys. And it kind of like, especially once winter sports roll around and now some guys are going to go play basketball. We had some rugby players in the spring. I was on the golf team. So like that didn't really translate. That wasn't even until senior year. My career was over at that point.
That was your swan song.
You're just starting to, a lot of guys now are doing the track thing, which is great. Working on all of those aspects of it.
See, wrestling is another big one to help out with football.
Exactly. So now you got to kind of flush it as soon as you can. And Columbus was in the state championship last year, correct?
They were there a few years ago and won it. Last year they lost in level three against Aquinas.
That's right.
Another heartbreaker. They're up two touchdowns with 2 minutes left and lost.
So then, L3 last year, L4 this season. You just got to keep building on it. And ultimately, you'll be able to get back to where you need to be. But it all starts in the off season. And you might want to take a couple days, maybe take the week off, but flush that out of your system. And then get back right to it in the offseason.
Yeah, and Andy Ryan, even post-game, we're so thankful for him giving us the time, especially after games like that. But you can see the buy-in from the group and how much they care and respect him as a coach. Columbus football is in such a strong place right now. I do want to shift over Scott Hilbert and his Mayville side, but we do have to show you guys, because Columbus, as they wrapped up their season, they're a heavy factor in this week's top three plays of the week. Ashley Dobrzynski, if you can cue that up now. Your top three high school plays of the week.
Single receivers to each side. Ball's on the near hash. And the faking the handoff powers. Ahead 40, 45, 50. He's to the outside, 40. And finally taken down at the 35-yard line. Hermson under center. Turns around. Hands it up. Jolton, left side. There's room out there. Cutback. He's up the middle. 25, 30, 40. Right sideline, 50. Another cutback. Breaks another tackle. Another tackle broken. He's to the 40. He's to the 30. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Little Shoot. Powers to throw. Running near side. Pump fake. Runs, throws off his back foot. Got a man in the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown, Columbus.
Hell of a ball there from Peyton Powers to end that, too. We got used to seeing that this year. He grew so much as a passer, that whole team. I know that the seniors, it's going to be tough to let go, but they have so much to be proud of. And being able to go through, win a conference title, get to the level four of the playoffs like they did, awesome, awesome scenes. And by the way, we got to give a little shout-out to Little Shoot, because that Reese Jotun touchdown run, 86 yards in the book, probably ran 150 yards on that play.
I was going to say, he looked gassed by the end of
it. He literally got through across the line. It was just like, please, all right, it's the coach, tap on the leg. If you're going for two again, it ain't going to be me out here. Won't be a part of that.
Hey, but good on Columbus for staying in the fight. They signed up for the whole game, and they clearly showed it there.
They did. They cut it down to 10 points with 8 minutes left. Didn't get the two-point conversion, but you were that close from it being a one-possession game. In a game that after a half, I'll be honest, I didn't think that they would be in that position. So it just goes to testament about that fight that Andy Ryan's side shows.
Yeah, we played the Rocky music leading into that. You know, if you're down on the mat, how are you going to respond? You got to get back up on your feet.
And that's the thing. You can go out now proud of what they do. And that triple option, man. I still remember having to – you got to be a scout team quarterback like I did for a little while. That was so much fun to run, but there's so much that goes through your head as a quarterback. And they were able to go out there. Reese Jotun had 200 yards on the ground 15 minutes into the game, most of that coming on the 86-yard run there. But huge shout-out to Columbus as their season goes on or wraps up. Mayville's, however, they will be playing on Thursday at Camp Randall. Neither of us ever had that ability to get there.
Mm-mm.
But I want to know, like, going into a week like this, it's a short week. It's going to be very different. You're going to be celebrities walking through the hallways at school. How do you even go about staying focused and making sure that you play Mayville football for another 48 minutes?
I think it's like we talked about last week. You just got to keep doing everything that you've been doing. Don't change anything up. Wear that same pair of socks. Maybe have mom do the laundry real quick. But, you know, wear the same stuff that you'd wear. Eat the same things that you'd eat. Prepare the same way that you've been preparing, because it's obviously been working.
And that's what Scott Hilbert has told us time and time again on these calls. It's, hey, it's about going 1-0 each week. We know that what we did last week has helped us get to this point. Why would we change anything now? It's kind of the Hoosiers clip where you go out there, a little bit early on Wednesday morning, you do the look around. Looks like the 100 yards is the same year as it is back in Mayville.
Yeah, 100%. And Madison, I've mentioned it before, Madison during state week and state weekend, as a student, like, I'd be like, when am I going home for Thanksgiving? Because it's a madhouse down there, and no pun intended, being in Madison. There's a lot of hype that goes around it. You can't let it get to you. Just continue doing what you're doing. Run the ball.
Can't wait. We're going to see them run the ball. Both teams like to run the ball a lot on Thursday, so make sure you're listening. We'll carry that on 95.3 WBEV. Start time's going to be a little up in the air, depending on how those first two games of the day do conclude. But we will try to get that passed on to you as soon as we have a good idea on that. But we're going to wrap up our show with a new segment today. So we're going to go to break now and tell you all about it on the other side. That's next on the Dam Sports Show on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV.
Here's a look at your weatherology forecast. A mixture of precipitation likely tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows around 34. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Rain likely early, then becoming mixed precipitation tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 36. Overcast skies. A dusting of snow tonight. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Right now, 39.
Make sure your furnace is playing at full strength. Schedule maintenance with JB Mechanical and stay warm while you catch the games this season. Up next, the latest weather on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
Attention sports fans! Whether you're chasing the hottest rookie card, that next big autographed sports card, or looking for expert card services, Real Sports Cards is here for you. For everything from sports to Pokemon cards, visit the store in downtown Waupun today. Go to the Apple Store or Google Play and download the Real Sports Cards app for all the live online card breaks. Watch, collect, and win from anywhere. Real Sports Cards, where every day is opening day.
Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. It's not just a slogan, but the way of life at Gruber Law Offices. If you've been injured, call our team today. We've represented tens of thousands of injured Wisconsinites for more than 30 years. Trust Wisconsin's own Gruber Law Offices. Proud partner of your Milwaukee Bucks. One call, that's all.
This week's Mid-State Equipment 95.3 WBEV FFA Student of the Week is Lucas Wald of Horicon. Lucas is the secretary of the Horicon FFA. His SAE project is lawn care and landscaping. Lucas has participated in many FFA national conventions. His plans after graduation are to become a heavy equipment operator. Congratulations to Lucas Wald of Horicon. He's this week's Mid-State Equipment 95.3 WBEV FFA Student of the Week.
Oh wow, they're out. A triple play. Did you see that relay race?
Wally, are you just saying random sports terms? This is a football game.
I'll be honest, Sherry, I've been running on empty. My pantry's looking like a bye week. A Wally with no snack is just not a Wally at all.
Cheer up. You just need to get over to Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly in Beaver Dam and Mayville. Score big this fall with game day snacks, beverages, meats, and more. Stock up in store and check out weekly deals online at foxbrospigglywiggly.com. Make every game day a touchdown.
Anger towards your noisy, faulty furnace should not be the only thing keeping you hot this winter.
I'm tired of this.
If your furnace can't keep up, call JB Mechanical. They'll clean and repair and keep you warm all winter. So if your self-furnace inspections sound like this,
okay, turn it on.
What the? Oh my.
Then don't suffer through another noisy night. Take advantage of JB Mechanical's fast, friendly, professional service and get your furnace running today. Visit jbmechllc.com, a proud Trane dealer.
There's power in your smile. Hi, this is Dr. Adam Forster from Columbus Family Dental. Your smile can make or break a day, start a conversation, even double a dose of courage. At Columbus Family Dental, we're committed to protecting your grin from ear to ear. Young and old, orthodontics to cosmetics, we're here to make it that much easier to share your smile. Columbus Family Dental is now accepting every kind of smile. Call us today for a free, no-pressure consultation at 623-5559.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From Durleaf Field to Lambeau Field, stay tuned to the Dam Sports Show. Brought to you by Real Sports Cards in Waupun. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
The man in the mirror, Charlie Dern, your brainchild today. Welcome back to the Dam Sports Show here on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Wally Lukashensky, Charlie Dern, and Ashley Dobrzynski up in the producing room. Big thank you to her as always today. But Charlie, this was your idea earlier, and I absolutely loved it. And we need to do this on Monday. So can you explain what Men in the Mirror is going to be?
Yeah, I think we're all about hand up accountability.
Big hand up accountability Monday here.
So that's all it really is. Just review last week a little bit. Make sure you keep ourselves accountable for our takes. I might have said crazy things last week. I don't think I was too off of the rails. But yeah, ultimately we can review our picks. You know, if you did something over the weekend that was we gotta hold you accountable for it. You know, ultimately that I think this is a good place for that on a Monday show.
Yes, and I think accountability is huge. So that's what we start with here. How do we feel? Dobes put that music in during the show, by the way. So a positive accountability right off the rip?
Absolutely.
That's how you got to start this thing. Charlie, I guess we'll start with you, because last week you came in and you started telling us about how proud you were of your cover five picks.
Yeah.
And can you care to explain how that did after 1 week?
Yeah, we'll have to make that a hot button or something. I said I take pride in my picks, and then I started touting about the Arizona Cardinals. That's one. See, they from the very first, the kickoff, the Niners took it to the 1 yard line. Terrible pick. I'm 2-2 on the week, so maybe I'll be able to get it with my Raiders tonight. But
Raiders.
So we'll see ultimately there. Not too much to be accountable for on the picks, but we got to be better than the Arizona Cardinals. Like, giving that out is just, that's a tough one ultimately. And then a positive accountability. I said that the Packers win if, on Friday's show, I said if the Packers win if Josh Jacobs rushes for over 100 yards. Now, it might not have been Josh Jacobs. He left with injury. But, you know, the Packers still ran the ball really well, and that ultimately was more or less the difference maker yesterday.
I want to throw it over to Ashley Dobrzynski now before I come back, because this is going to feel like I created this segment, because I'm just patting myself on the back until my arm is sore today.
But that's okay. We can.
That's what we do here. Mm-hmm. We're about that positive, also reinforcement. Dobes, on your end this week, positive and negatives, what do you have for us? We can't hear you. You're doing great. No, we still can't. Positive accountability has to stop somewhere.
Can you hear me now?
We absolutely can.
There we go. I had to turn on all the buttons. That's a negative. Never have all those turned on. Positive is that I had the Broncos winning and nothing but just my mind. But I did call that. So, yeah.
And what's your negative, Ashley? I think you might have left your quilting kit. Was it your quilt?
Okay, it wasn't a quilting kit.
How old are you, Dobes?
See, I'm 22, and quilting... I embroider now. Thank you very much.
Embroider. My bad.
I needed a hobby, but I forgot it all at my parents' house. But it's getting shipped to me, so it's okay.
Well, it's going through FedEx, so you know it'll get here safe and sound, too.
Exactly.
Shout out Jeffrey FedEx Freund. All right, that's some positives here. Now, this is where I need some people to kind of rein me in, because I like to look at it as I fired my head coach last week. I had to reset everything when we had Charlie Durham come on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was 20-30 in cover five, which admittedly, not good enough. 40%, that's not going to get it done. So what did I do last week? I went 5-0 in cover five, including the San Francisco 49ers against the Arizona Cardinals. So just had to, you know, get that one in there, a little back pat. Also drilled the Badger score across our ESPN Wisconsin websites, 31-7. So, Wally, what
you
else?
You nailed the score.
So I nailed the score.
Wow.
I nailed the score in the Badgers game. And then on top of that, I hit you with, as long as you don't turn it over more than the New York Giants on Sunday, you will win the game. Packers did that as well. I need someone to tell me what I'm doing wrong right now, because after about 3 months of only doing wrong, I think I figured it out. I'm seeing the ball really well right now.
How have the lower thirds been on the video stream today?
You know, that's probably not worth bringing up for the people watching.
This is the accountability corner right now.
Okay, so I'm getting better at that. Corey Sparks did so much more in the day-to-day than I think anybody understands. There's so many different buttons on this. You guys can't see this at home, but there's like layers and layers of buttons, and you have to like traverse going back and forth. How are people supposed to know?
I'm not the one that has to push the buttons.
Me neither.
I just come down here and talk for a little while.
Yeah, it's a pretty good gig. So I guess I needed that. Yeah, I've been better, or not better. I need to be better, and we will be better this week as well with that.
The Badgers covered.
They did, and we drilled the score. I mean, does it get any better than that?
Great team.
So we don't have Dobes tomorrow, so I'm going to put you on the spot here with about a minute left, because we're going to do our who's hot, who's not going forward on Tuesdays instead. You're not going to be producing tomorrow, so are you ready for a positive and negative for who's hot, who's not?
Yep.
What do we got?
Okay, well, my who's not was Luke Musgraves, because he was really making me mad yesterday.
You had to basically call him a who's not earlier, too.
Yeah.
It's not great.
It's not going to happen for him, unfortunately.
All right, who's hot?
I don't know. I don't really have a who's hot.
There's nobody hot right now.
No.
Badgers.
Badgers, they cover. Great teams win. Or no, good teams win, great teams cover.
And we got hoops tonight against, I think, SIUE, and then Friday against BYU. That's going to be an amazing game. I'm looking forward to that. 3 o'clock Friday night.
Yeah, and it's going to be at the Utah Jazz Arena, too. It's going to be a high-level game for that as well. So make sure you're tuned
John
in for
John Tanjay in the house.
John Tanjay in the house for that. No, Dobe's not going to be going over to the Beaverdam Girls Hockey Media Day tomorrow. A lot in store for you, so make sure you continue to follow us along here. Homer Hour's coming up next. We'll see you back here same time, same place tomorrow for more Damn Sports Show.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect